The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, Larissa Nolan and John Cadell are with us for our weekly music spot, and I'm not getting back into Fairy Tale in New York nonsense. Parking that, but I am interested in the idea. Shane McGowan has said, I mean, this is perhaps a little rich given that he gets about 400 grand a year out of Fairy Tale of New York royalties, but he says he would like if others were listening to other of his music rather than that. Okay. Either of you have sympathy with that point of view. Are we missing out on a great Shane McGowan canon because of the fact that everyone focuses on this song?
Well, I think there's nothing wrong with it being a way into the Pogues music. People who are inclined to go down the Pogues rabbit hole because of Fairy Tale in New York will do so. But there will be other people who will never be inclined to listen to the Pogues. They just like that song that has the swear word in it.
Are there like A Rainy Night in Soho, which...
Beautiful.
He apparently asked Johnny Depp to stop singing it at his recent wedding. He doesn't particularly like that either.
Well, obviously, Johnny Depp's a good friend of his, but he was obviously fanboying in front of Shane by singing Rainy Night in Soho, which I think is their greatest song. I think so.
Really?
I think it's
well, let's hear
it's
a little
beautiful.
Bit of it.
Yeah.
That's a shudder from a shower. And that's the thing to your arm.
Maybe he just didn't want Johnny Depp to murder it.
Yeah, quite possibly. He said, I'm not that drunk.
No, it is. It is one of their most beautiful songs, absolutely. But the handy thing about the Pogues, I think, is that they have a clutch of really, really good albums. So it's not, you know, some bands, it's their back catalogue is too big. But I mean, they've done a number of albums, but there's obviously the three albums. I think the first album is Red Roses for Me, isn't that the first one? And then you have
Rum Sodomy
and The Lash and If I Should Fall from Grace. But really all you need to get, if you want to start with the Pogues and you want to find out...
Hell's Ditch now.
We'll come to that in a while because they saved themselves with one particular track on Hell's Ditch. But, you know, if you just wanted to find out how brilliant they are, Rum Sodomy and The Lash, if you haven't listened to that album before, that album will change your life. And what I love about the Pogues was that they were coming out at a time where Irish traditional music was so out of fashion and so uncool. Like, I came from a family that were absolutely obsessed with it. So we had pictures of Luke Kelly on my wall. Like, my brother's name is Luke and my sister's name is Kelly. So, like, we were completely, my family were totally
and you missed
steeped
out
in it.
On the name.
No, I listened. Well, my mother, I think, took over at that stage and said, whoa, hold.
We're not calling her Ronnie.
She said, I'll start calling them after.
Drew Nolan.
Fury was on the list of names. But it was funny because for them to come out, I remember it was all around in my house. I remember thinking, you know, this, it seemed like a very old fashioned thing, even though I love traditional music myself. But when they came out, they really kind of brought it back.
Reinvented it.
And they totally made it their own. And they made it this kind of London Irish traditional music, which was even better.
OK, what's your first Pogues track?
So James Joyce, I think it's in Ulysses. He talks about an Irish party. And he calls it a roratoria. And when I listen to this song, it reminds me of that. He wrote this song called Fiesta, which sounds like an Irish traditional song with a mariachi band in the background.
Easy leisure. We must say adieu.
You know, I'm not sure I'd listen to it at home, but I certainly love to be bouncing around a bar listening to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't play that at the Christmas party. You might end up on the table doing all kinds of things you shouldn't do. But, you know, I mean, don't they really just, they really have that kind of, you know, that really, it was kind of punk as well.
Yeah.
That was the great thing about it. And they just made traditional Irish music cool, which was a lifesaver for me, I can tell you.
What's your next pick?
I've picked A Pair of Brown Eyes. It's another beautiful song about a guy who's just broken up with a girl. He's in a bar and this old soldier starts boring him about his life, and the guy's, I really don't want to talk. And he leaves the bar and he basically realises that the old man is talking about what he himself is currently going through, that he lost a woman. And, you know, he says, and I had no time for that old man who's literally living, who lived what I am living through. It's a really interesting lyrical take, I think.
Okay, A Pair of Brown Eyes. A lot of swaying going on in the studio, even without any alcohol being present.
I feel like we should have drink here.
There's lovely waltz. There's lovely waltz time to that that makes you want to do that. But what I love about that song as well is you can hear his vocals on it. He's such a good singer. It's something people kind of forget about, or he can often be laughed about his style.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's actually a lovely voice.
Yeah, back in the early days, certainly.
You can hear that
crystal clear. What is your next choice?
It's gorgeous. So the next one I'm going to pick is from that album that was not as well received as the other albums, Hell's Ditch. And obviously John liked it. But the best song on it by far, I think, is a song called Summer in Siam. Mm.
Well, it's summer in Siam, and the moon is full of rainbows. Well, it's summer in Siam, then we go through many changes. Well, it's summer in Siam, then all I really know is that I truly am. And the summer in Siam, in the summer in Siam, in the summer in Siam.
Beautiful cascading piano there. I just wanted to say cascading.
There's a classical melody line to that.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, you'd still hear it for ages after it goes into your head. Absolutely gorgeous. I love the romance of that song as well.
Well, see, I'm sickened now because I've sort of picked the obvious ones, but you've gone deep into the catalogue, Larissa.
Ah, no, but you got my favourite one, which is A Pair of Brown Eyes, which you'd picked it before I got to pick it. So, you know, that's the trade-off.
But you have one more pick, John.
One more, The Broad Majestic Shannon, which I only found out when I was, I've known the song years, but I only found out recently that he wrote it for Liam Clancy and Tommy Makem to sing. And they never did. So the Pogues recorded it. And eventually then, Liam did record it. And there's a couple of videos on YouTube of Liam Clancy singing it. Broad Majestic Shannon.
The last time I saw you was down at the Greeks. There was whiskey and sunburn and tears in her cheeks. She sang me a song that was pure as the breeze. And her own me did not glad to be. I sat for a while at the crescent finner where young lovers would meet when the flowers were in bloom. Heard the men coming from the fire at your own, their hearts in Tipperary wherever they go. Take my hand and dry your tears, babe. Take my hand,
Sound bang of Fairy Tale in New York off
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there is. And does that make you dislike it now?
No. I'm just saying it is. Lots of listeners are getting in touch. A song he had on the Circle of Friends movie was beautiful. Do you even know which one it was? I don't know. Another one, Funeral of an American, is suggested by another listener, or Broad Majestic Shannon, which we have just heard. Mm-hmm. Another one, Rainy Night in Soho is one of the great Irish songs ever.
Yeah.
While listening, you can clearly envisage the scene and inspiration for the song. It is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And Anonymous says, I've loved the Pogues since Year Dot, but shock, I also love Fairy Tale too. Fair enough, it's overplayed, but it is a bloody good song.
Can I interject, Matt, and say the one thing, if you hate Fairy Tale, you have to appreciate the fact that it reminds you of Kirsty MacColl every year. And she died on the 20th of December, I think 2001, 2002. But the very fact that it puts her in people's minds at this time of year and what a huge talent she was is reason enough to love it.
Yeah. Another one says, go on the Pogues, the hair is standing on my arms. And listening to all these Pogues' brilliant songs is like being in Bruxelles and Barry Street. The music is like the soundtrack of that pub, says Jack and Santry. You've one more pick for us.
Yeah, my one is, I think this might be my favourite. It's The Old Main Drag.
When I first came to London, I was only 16. With a fiver in my pocket and my old dancing bag. I went down to the dilly to check out the scene. But I soon ended up upon the Old Main Drag. There are the he-males and the she-males paraded in style. And the old man with the money would flash you a smile. In the dark of an alley you would work for a five. For a swift one, not the wrist, down on the Old Main Drag. In the cold winter nights the old town it was chill. There were boys in the cafes who gave you cheap pills. If you didn't have the money, you'd cajole and you'd beg.
We're getting a fantastic reaction to this from listeners. Another one though says, can't believe nobody mentioned Haunted. It's a masterpiece.
I absolutely love Haunted, and I didn't include it because it's a duet with Sinead O'Connor, so it wasn't just a Shane McCowan song on its own. But yeah, it's from a movie and it's an absolutely beautiful song. Absolutely couldn't, I wouldn't forget that. That would be my top, it would be in my top five or 10.
Okay, You're the One is the name of the Pogue song in the Circle of Friends movie, says another listener.
We'd have to watch Circle of Friends to know that, and that's just a no-go.
Okay. All right, listen, another one here. Karen says, some of the best nights we ever had were with the Pogues. Brilliant for a dance and for the crack.
Yeah.
But his lyrics would give any of the great poets a run for their money, says Karen.
Absolutely. Even the one we just heard there, which when you listen to it, it's about a rent boy looking back on his life and the hardships. And it's so gritty and it's so blunt. But the language on it is fantastic. You know, just to listen to it. He really is absolutely a poet.
I mean, this is the Pogues and McGowan typify songwriters and musicians who had no choice but to do what they're doing, as opposed to wanting to get into the charts.
And a lot of Ulster people coming in. Thousands Are Sailing is another one that people love. Well, you're having the last word on Shane McGowan. The Pogue singing Waltzing Matilda is unbelievable. Dara says Lorca's Novena is the ultimate Shane McGowan. I'm going to get a few more up here because they are flying in. Shane is a poet. Thousands Are Sailing is one of their finest, both from the pen of the late Phil Chevron. Mm-hmm. A number of people mentioned that. John, listener, says Circle of Friends is an okay movie, but Shane McGowan's song is worth seeing the movie even alone just to hear the song.
All right, I'll do that.
Okay. Lullaby of London, beautiful song.
Yeah.
Another listener says, and the ultimate collection is every song you have just played. Okay, because we might be tight in time, I want to do the picks of the week now. So what's yours, John?
I have, now the whole idea of this endeavour fills me with a bit of disdain. Springsteen on Broadway. Now, talking a lot before you play songs acoustically does not a Broadway show make. And Springsteen would be the first to say that he's sort of changed what a Broadway show is. You haven't. What you've done is a gig with lots of talking and less songs and less instruments and no E Street Band. But anyway.
Funny enough, I saw him do something similar in what was so the old point back in the 90s, and I thought it was a shocking night, shockingly self-indulgent rubbish.
What do you mean? He stands up and he starts talking. Is that what you're...
He starts talking, laughing at himself between songs.
He always does that.
Yeah. But, I mean, and I've been at some of the Springsteen concerts I've been at have been brilliant, great rock, great fun. Well, this stuff on his own when he goes acoustic and he does the self-indulgent.
Well, you're obviously there more for the big hits, Matt. And, you know, if you're not able to deal with a songwriter who's being intimate, maybe which is accompanied by an acoustic guitar, if you want like the bells and whistles and all of the pyrotechnics, well, then that's up to you. But I was at that gig and it was good. It wasn't an E Street Band gig. And he was telling people not to clap because it puts them off. But back to my point, this is not a Broadway show, but they're calling it Springsteen on Broadway. He's just talking a lot and playing.
And
a
is
few
the
songs.
Album, the two CD album, any good? Or the
yes,
four LP
it
set?
Is, because you cannot argue with the quality of Springsteen's songs. And here they are stripped back. I think we're going to play
Promised Land.
Promised Land, yeah.
On a rattlesnake speedway in the Utah desert, I pick up my money, head back in town, driving across the Waynesboro County line. I got the radio on, and I'm just killing time. Working all day in my dad's garage. Yeah, driving all night, chasing some mirage. Pretty soon, darling, I'm gonna take charge. Well, the dogs on Main Street howl, 'cause they understand. If I could take this moment into my hands, mister, I ain't a boy, no, I'm a man. I believe there's a promised land. I done my best now to live the right way.
Oh, I'm just after waking up there, right?
Ah, come on now. See, Matt, you're just there for the big explosion, Springsteen. You're not there for intimate Bruce.
You're
and
right.
You're missing out on intimate Bruce.
What's your pick of the week, Larissa?
I'm not usually a lover of Christmas or Christmas songs, but I was listening to the radio recently in the last couple of days, and this song came on. I thought, God, that's great. John Legend, and it's a Christmas song. Sounds brilliant. It's called What Christmas Means to Me, but Stevie Wonder plays harmonica on it. And then when I did a bit of research, it's actually a Stevie Wonder song covered by John Lennon, Legend, which makes sense as to why it's actually that brilliant.
Okay, listen, we're really out of time, so we'll leave that. I want to briefly ask you what you make of Lindsay Buckingham coming to a settlement with Fleetwood Mac, but also calling them just now merely a cover band.
He's not wrong.
He's definitely not wrong. Yeah. He's the only one. He's the one I'd be going to see now. He's apparently setting up a solo. I think he's doing a solo collection and a solo tour. I mean, look, he's everything, Lindsay Buckingham. He's cool. Like, he's a ride. Let's be honest. All the women love him.
Objectifying man.
He's exactly. And he's also one of the world's best guitarists. Yeah. Great melody writer. Best in thing in Fleetwood Mac.
I'm sorry, we're out of time. We can't talk about Cher or Forbidden Fruit or Janelle Monáe or Villagers. All the gigs for next year that have been announced. Hopefully we'll do that when we're doing our look forward to 2019. John Cadell, Larissa Nolan, as ever, thank you for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.